Husband and wife, they're on their honeymoon, and there is a deep, dark secret that the husband has never shared. He has chronic stinky feet and socks. And he has found a way through their dating relationship to cover this up, but he's wrestling, how do I share this with my new bride? And the bride, she also has a secret, and she has nasty breath. And she too has been able to cover it up. And so the husband says, you know, babe, I've got a confession. I've got to get this off my chest and share it with you. And she's just relieved, and she's looking into her eyes. She's like, you know, I have something I need to share too. And he goes, I think I know what it is. You swallowed my socks. Today we're going to be talking about marriage. And I want us to be reminded of the context of Ephesians. What's the context of Ephesians? We're going to go back quickly to chapter 1 and remember our position in Christ. This is what is said to us in verse 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. The first three chapters, the grace of God, when you believe the gospel, you're robed in Christ's righteousness, you're accepted, you're beloved. The second half of the book focuses on our walk, how to live this out. But please note that it's not our walk that causes us to earn or deserve God's love. You've already received God's love. We simply get to respond to God's love. The same love that saves us is also the love that empowers us. Also, we want to be reminded of the paragraph just prior, what we studied last week. It's easy to forget. We're encouraged to redeem the time, to buy back the time, reclaim the time. Husbands and wives, you don't know how much time you have together. Today is a gift to be able to spend together. And we're told to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We cannot fulfill the roles that God has for us apart from the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to something that we can't do, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit wants to empower us afresh. For those of you that are single and maybe God has marriage for you in the future, it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. The verse just prior, verse 21, says submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Before we get into these roles about marriage, there is this mutual submission that happens in marriage, and that's yielding to each other, merging together to find out what God would have for you. When that's your posture, it's a posture of humility, saying we're going to submit to each other in the fear of the Lord. That makes for a beautiful marriage. As we get into this section on marriage, we also got to keep in mind that marriage is God's design. It's God's institution. In Genesis 1, when God created Adam and Eve, God created Adam first. He's looking at his creation. He says, it's good, it's good, it's good, until he gets to Adam. He says, it's not good for Adam to dwell alone. So God creates Eve. And this is what the Lord says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Marriage is God's institution. It doesn't belong to culture. It doesn't belong to the state of Colorado. Amen? The state of Colorado can say whatever it wants and define marriage however it wants. Culture can try to define marriage, but it's God's institution. God created Adam and God created Eve. God, who is the one who says, this is what marriage is, between a biological male and a biological female committed to each other for life. That is God's design. And as we look at marriage, for us to be able to say, okay, God gives instruction on how to bless a marriage. These are the roles that God has given to us inside of marriage. Are we ready to do relationships God's way? Are we ready to come to a point of saying, Lord, what do you have to say on marriage? So we begin in verse 22 Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Well, I got to get going. I got a busy day today, so. You know, whenever you use the word submit, it's almost like all of the air just gets sucked out of the room. When I'm doing a wedding, I'll read this section of scripture, and a lot of times at a wedding, there's a lot of unbelievers, and they're looking at you backwards like, did you just say that? Did you just read that from the Bible, that wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord? I think there's a lot of misunderstandings with submission. So let's clear up first what submission doesn't mean. Submission doesn't mean that the wife is a doormat. Husbands, if that's your concept of submission, you're very far from the heart of God. You're very far from the truth. That there's no room for abuse in a marriage, that a wife would be abused, that she would be mistreated, that she would be placed as a doormat. Stay tuned, because we're going to hear what God is calling the husbands to and how a husband is to treat their wife. Submission doesn't mean that the husband is greater and that the wife is less. We tend to think that about submission. The word submission means to come under. So if we're following someone's leadership, we may tend to think, well, I'm less because I'm following their leadership. Please listen. The example of this is the Trinity. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons, but yet one God. And inside of the Trinity, there is order. It's very clear that the Father is the authority. And Jesus always takes his marching orders from the Father. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus. It's the perfect relationship because there's the absence of selfishness, but they're all equal. It would be heresy to say that Jesus is less than the Father, that the Holy Spirit is less than Jesus. They're equally God. So wives, it's not that you're inferior to your husbands. Husbands, you're not greater than your wife because God has given you that position of leadership. So that's a real misunderstanding when it comes to submission. And honestly, church, submission is something that's to be part of all of our lives as believers. We're to be submitted to the Lord. We're to be submitted to the authority that God has placed under us. It's over us. It's an expression of humility in our lives. Submission doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have a voice. There's a real misconception with that. Husbands, if you don't allow your wife to have a voice in your marriage, I can't think of something more foolish, right? You have this amazing partner, this amazing godly woman that the Lord has joined you up with in your one flesh. And if you don't make decisions together, that's a real misunderstanding. If your kind of idea of this context of Ephesians 5 where, well, I'm the head of the house, so you're going to do what I say, and you don't have any voice in the decisions, again, I think that's a real misunderstanding of what the text declares. When it comes to decisions in a marriage, hopefully, we want God's decision. We want God's decision. So what do? Well, you get into God's word as a married couple. What does God's word have to say about this decision? Not the husband's decision, the wife's decision, but we, as a Christian couple, want God's decision. Pray about it. Seek out godly counsel. Is there another couple that you can call that's maybe a little bit older, that's walked with the Lord longer, where you can get perspective? There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Is there something that just makes sense? There's common sense in this, and this is a good decision. And husbands and wives, as you come together and you seek the Lord, you're going to come about with a better decision than it just being the wife's decision, just being the husband's decision. So those are some of the things that submission doesn't mean. But what does it mean? What does submission mean? It does mean that you're willing to respect and follow your husband. And after you go through this process and you guys can't get on the same page, as wives, put it in your husband's responsibility. Say, you know, we've talked about this, we've prayed about it, we still have differing opinions, but I trust you and I'm willing to follow you. And then all of a sudden you're going to find that your husband's like, okay, here's another level of seriousness with this decision. If you are single, please don't check out. I think there's a lot of things for you to see in this text the way that Christ loves the church. But also, if God's going to have you to be married someday, ladies, single ladies, don't marry a guy you don't respect. Don't marry a guy where you're like, I can't see myself following him, because God's calling you to follow him. If you're in this place of like, you know, I think I can lead him pretty well, you know, that's probably not the relationship that you want to have. Not that any guy's going to be perfect, but you see a guy where you're like, you know, I respect him. I respect his relationship with the Lord and his work ethic, and I can follow him. So this is what God is calling you to as a wife, is to submit to your husband, respect him, come underneath his leadership. In verse 43, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. As I was reading this week and studying it and praying about it, this hit me in a deeper way, that I'm the head of Amber in the way that Christ is the head of the church. And that's pretty weighty. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility. And you know, my question to you as husbands is, have you ever stopped to consider that? You know, think about Jesus as our head. And what we're going to find in Scripture and find in the text is this is all about Christ and the church. That this is a YouTube video of Christ and the church. That wives respecting their husbands is an example of the way the church submits to Christ. And husbands loving their wives is an example of the way that Christ loves the church. So this is this position that God has given to husbands. In verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the question here is, the church is to be subject to Christ. So for all of us, married, single, are we subject to Christ? Do we submit ourselves to Christ? Husbands and wives, for a moment, take your eye off your spouse. This section of Scripture really is not about your spouse. You know who it's about? It's about Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus and ask yourself, am I submitted to Jesus? If Jesus is the head of the church, am I submitted to Jesus? If you're single, lose sight of marriage for a bit and say, am I submitted to Christ? I think a lot of times we're more concerned about, is my husband filling his role? Is my wife filling her role? Than am I truly submitted to Christ? Am I surrendered to Christ? Because if our eyes are on Jesus, marriage is going to work out. If you get two people that are in love with Jesus, that want to please Christ, that are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, God's going to make marriage work. Not that it's not difficult, that there isn't challenges, but it's very difficult for marriage to work if your eyes are not on Jesus. Triangle. You've got the base of the triangle, a husband and wife. And if their eyes are on the Lord and they're submitted to Christ, God's going to draw them together. Jesus really is that third element of the relationship. So pursue Christ, be submitted to Christ. Am I subject to Christ? So wives, then in the way that church is subject to Christ, to be subject to your husbands in everything. I think it's worth noting, again, in a misnomer of submission, it's not ladies that you submit to men in every context. This is specifically inside of your marriage. This is you're submitting to your husband inside of marriage. This isn't some kind of statement in the workplace or to say that women can't have authority in the workplace. None of those types of things. This is specific for marriage. Now we get to the responsibility, the role for husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I remember when Amber and I were engaged and we were studying this section of Scripture, and I was thinking about, okay, I'm about ready to be a husband and this is what God calls me to. I'm like, there's no way that I can do this. Not because Amber's not lovable, but because the standard of love is the way that Christ loves the church. And this is where we get to the need of the Holy Spirit. Wives, for you to be able to respect your husbands, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Husbands, for us to love our wives as Christ loves the church, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit wants to help us in these things. Husbands, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. Wives, the Holy Spirit wants to help you. So for us as husbands to say, Lord, this is how you want me to love my wife. This word love, it speaks of the highest good, to render affection. We know of Jesus that he always wants our greatest good. There's no question about that. So how does Jesus love the church? When I think of Jesus' love, it is passionate. It's passionate. Christ is always pursuing. We feel that from the Lord. Jesus pursued us to the point where he went to the cross and died for us in order so that we could be in relationship with Christ. So for us as husbands, we want to be passionately pursuing our wives. The love of Jesus for the church is unconditional. There's no question about whether or not Jesus loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We sin, we have a bad day, we fall short. Does God stop loving us? The circumstances are bad, difficult. God's love remains. It's a time of rejoicing. God's love is there. And hopefully our wives know that we love them. Hands down, we love them, and that love is unconditional. Whether there's success or failure or something in between, Christ's love is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Jesus put our needs before his own to the point where he went to the cross. We're to sacrifice for our wives. Jesus entered into our world and died there. And to be able to say, I'm going to enter into my wife's world and I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to put her needs before my own. With Christ's love, it's prayerful. Husbands, lay hold of this. Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. Are we praying for our wives? That's powerful. Be a praying husband. I'm going to intercede on my wife's behalf. And the love of Jesus, it's faithful. Do our wives have our trust? Men, when you go on a business trip, does your wife go, you know, I know my husband's going to be faithful. I know that that's his character. Does your wife trust what's on your text feed? Who you're texting, what you're texting? I trust my husband because I know that he's faithful. Do you have your wife's trust when it comes to what you look online? And this builds that atmosphere inside of a marriage for husbands to love their wives in this way. Now, this isn't always true. This is not necessarily like a biblical truth, but I think many times it's true. This might be a little bit more the opinion of Eric, so be careful. But I think that if men love in a Christ-centered way, generally women will follow. Generally women will follow. It's the way that God has wired us. Ladies, you love to be cared for in this way that Scripture intends. So husbands, if we can press into the Lord and ask that God would strengthen us for us to love our wives as Christ loves the church, most of the time, women will respond. Most of the time, women will say, you're treating me in a loving way. I'm going to respond to that in a respectful way. But please hear this. I know what some of you are thinking. At least I think I do. You're like, you don't know my spouse. Some of you husbands right now are like, I don't do it perfectly, but I've been trying to love my wife as Christ loves the church, and there's not a lot of respect that comes back. Some of you ladies are like, you know, when God wrote this, he didn't know my husband. You know, my husband's an absolute knucklehead, and you're telling me I've got to come under his leadership. For some of you, your spouse isn't here. Your spouse is an unbeliever, and you're like, how does this apply to me? I'm married to an unbeliever. Even if your spouse is an unbeliever, you want to try to fulfill this role the best that you can through the power of your Holy Spirit. You've got an unbelieving wife, love her as Christ loves the church. You've got an unbelieving husband, do your best to be able to respect him and to come underneath his leadership. Because this is not about how our spouse is responding. This is something that Jesus is asking us to do, and we're responding to Christ's love. We got to get out of this mindset of keeping score in marriage, right? okay, you disrespected me, so I'm not loving you. You didn't love me, so I'm going to disrespect you. And, oh, you did something nice for me, so I'm going to do something nice for you. No. This is what God's calling me to do, regardless of where my spouse is at, regardless of I'm feeling like I'm getting something in return. We go on to verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. This is what Jesus does for all of us. Jesus washes us with the word. And so as husbands, God is calling us in this example to wash our wives in the water of the word. Now, when we think about this, this is a very humbling experience, right? To have somebody else wash you, no thanks, right? I know some churches at times have feet washing services based off of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. I don't want anybody touching these dogs, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to touch these dogs. Someone gets elderly and they can't bathe themselves, and a family member has to help and bathe them. It's hard for that elderly parent to receive that. So there's some humility in order to be washed. And for us as the church, there's humility in saying, Jesus, wash me with the word. And wives, there's a humility in saying, okay, I'm going to allow my husband to wash me in the water of the word. And it has to be gentle, right? If you're bathing somebody else, it has to be gentle. And so we think about Christ washing us in the water of the word. Christ is gentle with us. So what's the application of verse 26? Is God's calling us as husbands to be spiritual leaders in our home. And I know that's intimidating for us. Husbands, we tend to think about being providers and protectors, which is very much a part of our role, but it's also to be that spiritual influence in our families, to declare to our wife and kids to say, hey, you know, we're going to be in the house of God. It's important for us to be in worship together. You know, it's kind of a grind on a wife if the wife's always saying, hey, let's go to church this Sunday. It's Sunday, let's go to church. Come on, go to church. And for us as men to see the value of being in God's house together. We don't have to overcomplicate this. Husbands, it can be as simple as saying, hey, what did you get out of church this morning? We sat in the same message together. What did you think about it? What did God speak to you? Or how can I be praying for you? What are some things that you're wrestling with in your relationship with the Lord? To be able to pray together, for the husband to take initiative to be able to pray together. And we're like, oh man, pray? I came to the wrong service. Like this is so hard. I do think the enemy loves to attack, right? Please stay tuned for Ephesians chapter 6, because we're going to talk about resisting the enemy. Husbands, wives, if you try to live according to the roles that God's given us, yeah, the enemy is going to attack. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. Wives, anything that your husband does in this area of being a spiritual leader, please affirm him. Please encourage him. Don't critique him, because it's hard for us to step out. My wife and I, we pray together as we're going to sleep. And if you heard my prayers when we're going to sleep together, you're like, I thought more of Pastor Eric. You know, like, I'm tired, we're tired. It's like 30 seconds at the most, but it's what I got. It's where I'm at, you know? And ladies, if your husband takes you by the hand and prays with you, you might be thinking, you know, we have a lot better prayer times than this in women's ministry. I mean, when we get together in women's ministry, we can pray for a half hour, nothing flat, and really, that's all you got? You got 30 seconds? Family devotions are hard. You know, my brother and I were absolute buttheads during family devotions. Like, we would just do everything we could to try to frustrate my dad if he was doing some family devotions with us. And, you know, anything that the husband steps out, don't say, oh, that was a lame study. Where did you get that one, right? Or, I think I could do this better. You probably could, right? That's not the point. But be able to say, hey, you know, thanks so much for making church a priority in our family. Hey, thank you for praying with me. And then also, husbands, I think that this is what our wives really crave. This is what our wives really long for. When we step out into that area of being a spiritual leader, they really do appreciate it and value it. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. There's this day when the church is going to be presented to Christ in fulfillment. And Jesus is preparing us for that. He's preparing us for eternity. He wants us to be that pure and spotless bride. And for us as husbands to say, I'm concerned for my wife and her relationship with Christ. I want to be an encouragement to her in her relationship with Christ. How am I helping prepare her for the ultimate goal of meeting Jesus, of hearing those words, well done? And also wives with your husbands to say, you know, how am I encouraging my husband? We're entering together into eternity. If your spouse is a believer, if not, praying that your spouse would come to know the Lord. Here's the second reason husbands are to love their wives. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So we're seeing the way that Jesus loves the church. You're single, maybe God's called you to singleness. This is a great passage for you. Even though you're not married, and maybe won't be married, this is the way that Jesus loves the church. Jesus nourishes and cherishes the church. And the message to husbands is the way we care for our own bodies. No one ever hated his own flesh. If you have a healthy relationship with your body, you will take care of it. Even at young ages, this is hardwired into us by God. You almost do it without thinking about it. You wake up and what do? You eat because you're hungry. So I'm going to care for my body and I'm going to eat. You get sleep. There comes to a point in the evening where it's like, all right, I'm ready for bed. Every night at like 10 o'clock, for sure by 10:30, I just melt down. It's like the switch just goes off and I'm like, I'm ready for bed. And I do a good job of making sure I get to bed on time, right? Because I love sleep. You probably get some coffee in the morning. Because coffee is glorious, right? You care for your own body. And what we're going to see here is that we're one flesh. So husbands and wives, you're actually one flesh. And you care for your own physical body. And because your wife is your own flesh, you want to nourish her and you want to cherish her. It would be counterintuitive and counterproductive to hate your own flesh. It would be destructive to you to say, I'm just going to destroy my body. You know, I really don't like my right hand, so I'm going to cut it off. Like, hey, your right hand really serves you well. You want to keep your right hand. Husbands, it's wisdom to see that you're one flesh with your wife. So don't be mean to your wife. Don't be a jerk to your wife. Don't mistreat your wife, because it's only going to bring destruction upon yourself as well. Let's think about these two words. Nourish and cherish, that Jesus nourishes and cherishes. Nourishes to build up. Everything that Jesus does for the church builds us up. So husbands, are my attitudes and my actions, my words, are they building my wife up? Is it feeding into Amber? And then cherish shows value. Am I communicating to Amber that I value you? And this is the way that Christ treats the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. This is amazing. So this unity and oneness that we experience in marriage, it is a picture of the unity that the church has with Christ. We're actually members of his body. We're united to Christ, of his flesh and of his bones. Quoting from Genesis, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Leave father and mother and cleave. Leave and cleave. In order for the cleaving to happen, there has to be a leaving. This is symbolized in a marriage ceremony. A lot of times you've got the husband's family, the wife's family, both sides of the aisle, and you're symbolically in a marriage ceremony saying, I'm leaving mom and dad, and I'm cleaving to my spouse, and we are now one flesh. We're one flesh in God's sight. What does this mean to leave? It's to cut the cord of dependency. So naturally, in a relationship with parents, there's dependency, right? But as you get married, you want to cut that cord of dependency. It's not that parents aren't important, but now you're cleaving to your spouse. So spiritually, physically, emotionally, you're going to each other instead of going to the parents. And if at all possible, husbands and wives, you want to cut that cord of dependency financially with mom and dad. Why? Because normally when mom and dad are paying for stuff, it comes with some strings attached, doesn't it? You might be in a place where you don't have a whole lot, but how do we look to the Lord, rely on each other, and be able to say, look, we're going to make this work financially as a husband and wife? Are there seasons maybe where you got to live with mom and dad? Absolutely. Man, inflation's crazy. It may make sense to do that for a while. But to say in general, this is what we're moving towards, is to cut off that financial dependency upon mom and dad so that we can cleave to one another. This is not talking about gifts. You know, your parents want to bless you and help you to be able to buy a house. Praise the Lord. They want to bless you with helping you get on a vacation. Praise the Lord. But it's those daily, monthly needs to say, how do we press in and be able to trust God for our needs? But also spiritually and emotionally, who is the most important person in your life? If you're married, it's your spouse. So you get a raise. Your boss calls you in and you got an unexpected raise. What do? Pick up your phone and text mom and dad, say, I got a raise. Wrong answer. You don't do that. You text your spouse and you're like, praise the Lord, I got a raise. I'm going to tell mom and dad. But you told your parent, you told your spouse first before your parents. You've had a really bad day. You're discouraged. You're losing it. Do you pick up the phone? Mom, I had such a bad day. Dad, I had such a bad day. Wrong answer. You pick up the phone and you call your spouse and you're like, you know, this is a rotten day. It doesn't mean that you don't share with your parents. You need that mutual consent, that mutual agreement between husband and wife. Hey, do you care if I share this with mom and dad? Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. But you're going to your spouse before you're going to mom and dad. This also is friendships, right? Guys, you got a really good guy friend that you have strong fellowship with and accountability with. You want to go to your spouse even before that accountability partner. Ladies, you got a really great girlfriend that you share your heart with and you're like, actually, I think my girlfriend knows more of my heart than my husband. You want to change that up. You want to go, you know what? The greatest human relationship is my spouse. I'm leaving other relationships to cleave first to my spouse. It's possible that you've been married for some time and there's still some leaving that needs to take place. There's some leaving that needs to take place in order for the cleaving to take place. Pray through it and say, Lord, is that possible in my marriage? For this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This one flesh experience that we have as husbands and wife, it's a great mystery, but it speaks of something even greater, and that's our unity with Christ. Singles, as you look around at marriage and you see a picture of Christ in the church, to ultimately see your unity with the Lord. Husbands and wives, it's really important for us to see that we are one flesh. We're one flesh. This is the mystery, that God could take two individuals and make them one flesh. We live in this culture where we really idolize individualism. And without even realizing it, we bring this into marriage and we're making a lot of selfish decisions instead of we decisions. See the difference in this. Text, hey babe, just got off work. Gonna be home late, headed to the gym. Love you, see you later. Okay, what does that communicate? You made a decision without checking in with me. How else could the text read? Hey, had a long day at work, would love to go to the gym. Does that work for you? What do you think? Yeah, go to the gym, be great. Hey, babe, I was at Costco today and they had Apple Watches. Can you believe it? And I think they were on sale. I don't know, but I think they were. So I got an Apple Watch, and aren't you excited? Well, we kind of needed to pay utilities this month, right? Like, how else could that go? Take the time to say, hey, I'm here at Costco. I'd like to get an Apple Watch. I think it's a good deal. What do you think? Do we have the money to do it? Yeah, go for it. Or, no, I really don't think it's a good time to be able to buy an Apple Watch. There's a lot of decisions to make as parents, isn't there? And sometimes it's like, hey, you know, I signed up Johnny for club soccer, and he's going to play 8 days a week and be on the travel team, and we're going to have to dip into our life savings, but we got to give this opportunity to Johnny. And it's like, okay, that would have been nice if we made that together, if we made that decision together. That's actually a pretty big decision. And that's part of being married, is realizing every decision affects my spouse. We're actually one flesh. So how do we make this decision together? And we come to verse 33. God sums this all up. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Did God just sum up marriage in one sentence? I think he did. And marriage is complex and it's difficult, but it's also simple. It's also simple. Of all of Scripture, you think of Genesis to Revelation, how much does God write about marriage? Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. You'd think that he would write a whole bunch more on marriage. There is volumes written on marriage, right? You could read the rest of your life on what Christians have written about marriage. And isn't it a little bit refreshing that God nails it in a paragraph? Says, here it is. This is what I got for you. This is my design. As husbands, make sure that you're loving your wife. And wives, make sure that you are respecting your husband. As God has designed us, male and female, I have three daughters and one son, and I can see very clearly how God has designed my daughters differently than my son. Husbands, what your wife really needs, the way that God has made her, is for her to know, hands down, she's loved. She's loved, she's loved, she's loved, she's loved. And ladies, the way your husband's wired is he needs to know that he's respected. If he has your respect, that's going to fill up his tank. One of the ways that God made us is we need our batteries recharged. We need our tanks recharged. You think of automobiles, right? You got to fill it up with gas. If you've got an electric car, you've got to charge it up. We're the same way. Hear this. The number one way we're filled up is our relationship with God. Don't look to your spouse to be Jesus. Jesus alone is bread of life. Jesus alone is living water. Look to him. Seek him in the word. Seek him in prayer. That's where you're going to be filled up first and foremost. But God's also designed for us to be filled up by our spouse. And you can get into this really cool cycle of love and respect. I do think it starts with the husbands. Husbands, for us to attempt to love our wives as Christ loved the church, we're initiating that love. We're initiating that love. And then wives, you respond with respect. You get this cool tank filling happening. It's like, man, my wife respects me. Oh man, my husband, he loves me. And ooh, love and respect, and wow, I'm feeling good and great about marriage. I love on a Sunday afternoon if I get home and my wife's like, you know what, babe, that was a great message. I'm like, Yeah. There, few people might not have liked the message, but if my wife thinks I did a good job, it's like, wow, I feel respected, right? It's the way that God has designed me. And when my wife feels loved, that's the way that God has designed her. But we can also get in a negative pattern pretty quickly, right? where husbands were not giving love, wives aren't giving respect, and it's this negative spiral, and ruts are really powerful. And I think in some ways we're gonna get in some type of rut. Life is daily. And if we're in a rut of disrespect and no love, disrespect and no love, then that causes a lot of damage in a marriage. But if you're in a rut of saying, you know what, love and respect, that brings a lot of health. Now please hear this. We're gonna stand and we're gonna pray together. But God's the God of the resurrection, and he brings life where there is death. And some of you may be at a place where you're like, you know what? I'm tired of trying. I've heard this. I know this. I've studied this. And we've tried this as a couple, but it goes nowhere, and we end up in a worse place than we've started. And let's press into the Lord to say, you know what? This isn't first and foremost about the results. Regardless of the results, I'm going to press into what God has for me and ask that the Lord would do a work in marriages. Also, as a church, we want to come alongside of you. Our pastoral team doing marriage counseling, biblical counseling, it's free. You call the church office, say, we need to sit down with someone else to help us. We have marriage mentors. You could be a marriage mentor. You could be on the receiving end, be a mentee. Right now, we have more people wanting to be mentored than mentors. If you've been married 15 years, maybe pray about being a mentor, but you can call the church office. We have marriage classes and conferences. There's a marriage class that started last night. Small groups is a great way to invest in your marriage. You're in relationship with other couples. You're not alone in this. Every single one of us that are married are in a different place in our marriage. But wherever you're at, whatever place that you're in, to say, Lord, I want to press into God's design. If you're single, is to be able to say, Lord, thank you for loving me in this way. Jesus, thank you that you love the church in this way. So would you stand with me and let's pray together. Father, we do ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Would you help us as husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church? Holy Spirit, would you help wives to respect their husbands? Lord, would you give help to singles as they wrestle through singleness or have found peace in their singleness? And Jesus, we do thank you that you are the God of the resurrection, that you bring life where there's death. We pray for widows and widowers that as they study with us this morning where they miss their spouse, would you comfort their hearts? Or we pray for those that have gone through divorce and are wondering if there's a future, if there's a hope. Lord, would you bring comfort to them? We pray for those that are considering marriage, that you would just build up some really solid, Christ-centered relationships for your glory. But most of all, Jesus, we thank you that you love us in this perfect way. That you've sacrificed on the cross for us, your church. That you nourish us, that you cherish us, that we're one with you. In Jesus' name, amen.